This is Ellie Katz, and I want to welcome everybody to this afternoon's call. This is our community mental health call. I hope that everyone is safeguarding their physical health and are practicing social distancing and anything else that's required to keep yourself physically healthy right now in this very challenging time. We now have an opportunity to also take care of our mental health, which is very important as well, and we're fortunate to have Jewish Family and Children's Services of Northern New Jersey, who takes care of the entire community, but they're located here in Teaneck. The Jewish Family and Children's Services of Northern New Jersey is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing a diverse range of social support services, which include mental health counseling, case management, senior services, two food pantries, career counseling, and lots more. I ask that everyone please check out their website at jfcsnnj.org, or you can call them at 201-837-9090. I'd like to just recognize and thank my colleagues, Mark Schwartz, Deputy Mayor, and Jim Dunleavy for helping me put together this call, and a special thank you to Age-Friendly Teaneck, who does so much for the seniors here in Teaneck and has a lot of resources as well, and also our friends at Holy Name Medical Center, who've been very helpful with us as well, have helpful to the entire community. And so we thank you, the entire staff of Holy Name, and specifically Jeanette Hoffman, Nicole Arena, Jesse Griffin, Paul Ostrow, and the entire Holy Name staff. With that, I just want to make note that Jim Dunleavy will unfortunately not be able to make it to the call. He's actually stuck in his own hospital helping his patients, but he did send me a note and asked me if I can just remind everybody that 99% of people who test positive survive, roughly 96% have mild symptoms. All right, so we know there's a lot of information out there, and we know that there's a lot of stress going on, and I think that's why it's important that we have these calls, and it's more of comforting words of encouragement at this time. I'd like to just turn it over to Deputy Mayor Mark Schwartz.
Ellie, thank you very much. I'm actually just listening as a participant and hoping to hear some good words, especially after spending all day long yesterday, my birthday, inside during a snowy Monday pandemic day. So I'm actually I'm looking forward to hearing what JFS has to say, and I thank them for everything.
Thank you. And now we're fortunate to have Allison Limmer. She is the Director of Clinical Social Services of JFCS NNJ, and she's going to be speaking today about parenting tips to keep you sane through Corona. Parenting tips to keep you sane through Corona. Allison, thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I want to begin by focusing on managing and prioritizing parent self-care first. I want to go back to an old but meaningful metaphor. When you are flying on an airplane with your child and the airplane experiences turbulence, whom do you put the oxygen mask on first? The parent, the adult, because we are not able to be helpful to our children if we don't take care of ourselves first. And doing this is not a selfish act. It's a life-saving act. And this is the time for us to identify and practice self-care. Focusing on what's in our control can provide relief. I would like to share a few examples of how we can all practice self-care. Setting aside 2 to 15 minutes each day to breathe in a rhythmic pattern such as the 4-7-8 breathing technique, which we can do by breathing in for a count of 4, holding the breath for a count of 7, and releasing your breath for a count of 8. You can try this by yourself and with your children, with your eyes open or with your eyes closed. This can be practiced regularly and can help calm us and help us stay in the present moment instead of in the past or the future. Daily meditation, prayer, and restorative yoga poses can also be practiced and combined with calming breathing techniques. meditation can additionally help us reduce our stress levels. There are many available on the internet with guided instructions. A grounding technique I'd like to share is the 5-4-3-2-1, which can help us detach from disturbing thoughts by counting down. 5, look around for 4-5 things that you can see and either think them to yourself or say them out loud. 4 is for feeling. Name 4 things you can feel. 3 is for listen. Listen for 3 sounds. 2 is for smell. Say 2 things you can smell or that you like to smell. And 1 is for taste. Say 1 thing you can taste or that you like to taste. These are examples of tools to have available in your toolbox to be practiced daily to support reducing and managing stress and worry levels, all with a positive focus on self-care. And it's okay to feel anxious, angry, sad, and any other emotion as a result of COVID-19. It's what we do with these emotions that can determine the quality of our mental health for ourselves and our families. Losing the physical connections with our families, grandparents, teachers, schools, friends, religious leaders, colleagues, roles, and the things we love to do are all losses that are best to be talked about, validated, and processed without judgment. Lots of children are missing many events that were thought to be a rite of passage, such as school trips, formals, proms, plays, recitals, concerts, and religious ceremonies, all with lots of time spent in preparation. These are losses that were taken away that others got to do and your children can't. Be available to talk to your kids about these missed opportunities. And try to avoid trying to make it better. And do validate their feelings and listen instead of unwittingly dismissing their feelings in an attempt to fix the situation. Let's watch our responses because we could unknowingly cause a child to feel badly about missing these important events by saying, missing your play is nothing compared to getting sick. Or how can you think about your prom with Corona? Hearing about those in and out of our families who are sick and those who have died as a result of COVID-19 is an obvious source of worry and stress for all of us and our families. So making time for self-care if you can and creating a structure and a routine into daily life can mitigate our worry with a focus on the things we can control. And there is additional pressure on social media sites urging us to keep up with all activities virtually, essentially to schedule everything we all did before the crisis. There's virtual dance, singing, yoga, you name it. This can be an additional source of stress and pressure, or this can be an opportunity to assess what's best for you and your family. There are sites on Facebook that lash out to people who aren't following quarantine recommendations. There's public shaming and humiliation directed at those people. This angry expression doesn't help. Don't take your loss out on others. This falls in the category of things I can't control. Refocus on things you can control, such as validating the losses for your kids and yourself. It is hard to accept that we can't make it better, and it is uncomfortable to sit with sorrow. And parents are suddenly expected to teach subjects they aren't familiar with. Distance learning and working is stressful, and parents are struggling with having to juggle and prioritize schoolwork and their own work responsibilities. A parent might have a work project due at the very same time as their child does. Families don't have enough devices to accommodate all that is being asked. Parents, please advocate for yourselves and your children and ask for more time. Families can problem solve and schedule these issues together, creating a schedule with your children. Families can work together with a family meeting daily, either virtually, via video chat, telephonically, or if you have the privilege of being face-to-face, to set a daily agenda. Identify structure and routines, such as times to get up and go to sleep, play, get dressed, work, and meal routine. This is a time to go over what is working and what is not, and to listen to each other. And if necessary, work to reframe thinking patterns as a challenge versus a problem. And work towards creating a structure and a routine with a focus, again, on the things I can control versus the things I can't control. I can control putting my phone away at a designated time. I can control washing my hands when I enter my home, washing before eating. I can control being present with myself and with my children. I can control being in touch with my breath, watching it as I sit quietly for a few minutes. And I can work on believing I can handle whatever comes up as a mindset. Here are some tips. Now more than ever, consider creating device-free time slots throughout the day and especially around meals, snacks, and before bed, involving your children in the decision-making process. Consider structuring listening and playtime with your children of all ages, recognizing all behavior has meaning, and children of all ages may not have the words to describe their emotions. Plan creativity time and define what this will be for you and your family, giving your children a sense of control by encouraging them to be involved and asking them to decide how they would like to tailor this time together. Help older children find a way to be involved with a cause that appeals to them. Families can research a cause together and get involved as a family, helping others. Be factual when questions are asked and respond in an age-appropriate manner to your children. And remember, it is okay to say you don't know. Use calming techniques to make sure you are calm and grounded before responding to questions asked by your children. Be mindful of managing media exposure. Process the news together. While it is challenging to schedule healthy distractions to the constant news updates, come up with creative ways as a family to limit exposure to the news. Being together can have the benefit of strengthening family bonds, and families can have the gift of time together. In closing, I want to remind everyone, there is no one-size-fits-all. And flexibility, humor, compassion, and empathy practiced daily can help you steer and stay this course at the helm with your children on board. We all make mistakes with endless opportunities to learn and grow from them, demonstrating your humanness and ability to shift gears and steer the course through this crisis can create and instill a sense of emotional safety, and can teach positive coping strategies to your children who, by the way, hear everything you say and observe your every move. We will be posting some creative ways to relax and play together on our jfcsnnj.org website. I want to thank you all for calling in and listening. I am available for any questions, should you have any. We are here to serve the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison, and thank you to Susan and Michelle and all of our friends at Jewish Family and Children's Services. We're fortunate to have you headquartered here on Teaneck Road in Teaneck. For those who are just joining, not to worry. This is been recorded and will be sent out tomorrow in my tidbits. Just a reminder that Jewish Family and Children's Services of Northern New Jersey is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing a diverse range of social support services, which include mental health counseling, case management, senior services, two food pantries, career counseling, and more for people of all backgrounds. You should look at their website, jfcsnnj.org or call them at 201-837-9090. I'd like to thank my colleagues, Mark Schwartz and Jim Dunleavy, for helping me put together this call, and also recognize Age Friendly and Holy Name Medical Center for your support. And I want to wish everybody a successful rest of the day and a healthy rest of the day. Please practice social distancing. It's probably one of the emails I get the most of, where residents are calling and asking or emailing me and asking how come these people are not doing social distancing, you know, and together we're going to get through this as a community. Have a good day, everyone.